Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, which is brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Eruvin daf Lamed. We're holding a little bit before. Actually, I think it's worthwhile for us to start over again with the machlokas about raw beef. So we were talking yesterday. And we started the two dots just again. So the general klal, this is a very important klal, Omer Yehuda Meshmuel on Chavtet Amud Beit, anything which is a liftan, remember that liftan is used in two ways. Liftan is used for something that's malafet et hapat, which means that you would eat it together with bread. And liftan is used sometimes as that which is malafet the su'uda. In other words, after eating your su'uda, so you have a dessert kind of thing. That's why it's used that way as well. It's the same basic idea, that it's coming along with something else. But in any event, the klal is like this. If it's something that is generally used as a liftan, so then you go according to the amount that you would need as a liftan in the su'uda, not how much of it. So that is called le'echol bo, meaning to eat the bread together with it. But anything that is not used with bread, and you generally just to eat it, so then it would mean that the entire su'uda needs to be from it. So we got into this question about raw meat. And we said raw meat, it has to be the whole meal. And as far as Bosar Tzli is concerned, that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yosef says also it has to be the whole meal. And Rabbi Yosef says, look, I can prove it to you because the Persians, they always eat even the Bosar Tzli that's very lightly barbecued meat, they will not eat it with bread, they will eat it below Naham. So Abaye Taina to him, who cares? The Persians are not going to define the nature of the world. And of course, over here, as we spoke about yesterday, this is not similar to the Saudi Arabia thing, as Tosis points out, because everybody here has got access to raw meat or barbecued meat, and certainly they do eat it with bread sometimes. Now, the problem that Abai is taking for granted over here is that even if it's true that there may be people that eat it all on its own, the very fact that there are people that will eat it together with bread should allow you to be makel and to make the Erev with the little bit amount that is necessary to eat with bread. Why should I go to Chumrah and be Mechayev everybody to make an Erev that has all of the meat as if there's no bread at all in the Sunnah, when that's not the way that they would eat it? And that's a tremendous Chumrah. That's my question. And we have the same issue, which we had back in Kalim, where we're talking about the shear of Tumas Begadim. So remember, what's the shear for Aniyim? The shear for Aniyim is a piece of material that's 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot, because they can use that for patches and so on. The shear for rich people is 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim, which is enormously bigger in terms of the area. And the halacha is that Bigdei Aniyim is 3 by 3 tvachim. Bigdei Ashirim is 3 by 3. Bigdei Aniyim is etzba'ot, and Bigdei Ashirim is 3 by 3 tvachim, and the shear is kavua according to who you are. So Bigdei Aniyim la'aniyim, Bigdei Ashirim la'ashirim. What are we going to say? We're going to say that Bigdei Ashirim, since there are people that are going to use it only if it's 3 by 3 of the bigger mida of tvachim, so because of that we should say it's not a beged for the people who will use even 3 by 3 etzbaot? No, we don't say that. Bigdei Ashirim la'aniyim lo. For an ani, 3 by 3 is enough. Same thing should be true over here. The rich people in Persia will have the whole meal with meat. Fine. But the poor people will have a meal that's not all with meat. So what do we have to be machmanistin? We're going to go according to the rich people. Now, what you could say is, yes, because it's not saying that the shear is defined that way. It's saying that we go l'chumra in every case. So we're saying that an oni is going to be makabel tuma even in a small shear. We'll go l'chumra. We're going to say that you want to make an erev, you need to have the big shear. That's a chumra. So maybe in both cases we'll go l'chumra, right? That's what you're going to tell me. But that would be not true, because Vatanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, suppose you have a person who is old or is ill and can barely eat, you can make an Erev for that person from the small amount that he needs for his Suda, because he doesn't need any more. So obviously you go according to the person, even if he has low requirements. So we don't go L'chumra. And it's even more than that, if a guy is a wild bulmos eater, and he normally eats five times what other people eat, we're not mechayev his Erev to be an Erev that's five times as big as others. We go Lukula. We have the normative Erev for regular people. If somebody can't eat because he's ill or whatever, then we go down. So that means in any event, we never go Lukhorma. It's always whatever is smaller. The normal Erev or the Erev that's good for you. So don't try to tell me that the Persians over here are going to be koveya, the nature of the Erev, because it's a chumra. And they're the kind of people that would eat meat as plain meat. Nonsense. Okay, so that's not the answer. Because it says over there, everybody else says, you're right. I don't know. Well, I don't know what Rabbi Yosef was thinking. What kind of rye is it from Persians? Kasha. Wait a second. You're telling me that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, What is going on with Moshe Forman tonight? What is this reclining supine position? I mean, I know you're Nena from the Achila of the Gemara as if you're eating steak. And since the way that they used to eat was by lying down on a couch and so on, but the problem is that that is likely to lose your concentration. Okay. So now
he enjoys steak as if he's learning Gemara.
Oh, amazing. That's a madriga. There's actually a story like that on today's staff, so we'll get there. It's interesting that you bring it up. It's all Chassidus Shemaisa, which the Rebbe will enjoy, about the Yehudi HaKadosh. All right. So anyway, the Shaila is, did Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar really say that you go according to the lower shear, even if somebody is very big? So let's take Og Melech HaBashan. Pretty big guy, right? Now, we're talking about a Jewish Og Melech HaBashan, not the original. So this guy's a real basketball player. And he, unfortunately, has died. Okay, so now he's in a house. And I'm sure you'll remember the sugya of Sof Tuma Latzeit. So where you have a mace in a house where you're certainly going to be removing the body, the halacha is that all of the possible exits from that house are considered to be Tameh because of Sof Tuma Latzeit, even though they are currently, there's no mace under that particular area of the Ohel, right? However, if there's only one door that is suitable to take the mace out, then nothing else is metame. Sorry. Only that door is metame. And if you selected a door and you said, this is the door that we're going to take out the mace, so then at that point, only that door is the door that is going to become tame with the idea of sof tumala mate. Now, the problem is that Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that if Og Melech HaBashan, the Jewish one, is inside of the house, then you cannot say that there is a door that is going to save the other doors from Tuma because it's the door that he's going to be removed from unless it's really big enough to remove him from. We don't go according to the average door. It says, well, obviously, I don't understand. What do you want to do? Bring a buzzsaw and cut the body up into little pieces and take it out of the door? I mean, this is a practical issue, Sof Tuma, let's say. You can't say that it's like somehow a normative thing. You're not going to be able to get the body out. So that's ridiculous. Iboilo. The question is like this. Do the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar about this? That's the question. Tashma. The Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Og Melech HaBashan, Pitcho Ba'arba'a. So apparently, it says over here that even four tefachim, which is the standard, four tefachim by four tefachim, is a standard exit. We've had that many times, that a door is always arba tefachim, right? When it comes to taking out a body, it also has to be arba tefachim. Hi, we have to be able to get the body out through. It doesn't have to be a door, it has to be a petach. Fine. But that definitely is connected to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, well, you're not going to get Og Melech HaBashan out of a 4x4. No. Does not mean that they argue. See, the point over there in Reb Yochanan's case we're talking about, there were a lot of openings, but all of them were less than Arba Tvachim by Arba Tvachim. You had one opening that was Arba Tvachim by Arba Tvachim. So now you have to ask yourself, okay, one of these Tvachim anyway is we're going to have to do some deconstruction work on, right? So we're going to have to open it up in order to get the body out of the house. Which one do you think we're going to work on? Obviously, the biggest one, the one that's Arba Tvachim by Arba Tvachim. So, Devadai Ki Ka Marvach, Bahu Ka Marvach. Oh, that's all Reb Yochanan was saying. But if you have various Ptachim that are all the normal size, and therefore they would all be considered to be Tummy, you want to be Miyached one door, and you're going to say, this is the door. You can't be Miyached the door unless it really is suitable in its current state for removing the body. Because over here, all of them are Roy for Tumah. Omrib Chia Baravashi Omarab. Ma'arvim b'basar chai, you can use, as we saw before, we said before that beef tatar is very, very good, and you can certainly make an eruv using raw meat. Reb Shimi Bar Chiya says you can use even raw eggs, and what would be considered to be enough for two meals? Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says one egg is enough. And Sinai, they used to call Reb Yosef Sinai, remember, because he was the one that was bucky, like Yosef HaTzadik was the idea of as he called himself, that it's Rav Tfuot B'Koach Shor. So that was the idea of the Koach of Yosef. He was Yosef and he called himself Sinai. Now, as we saw before, we have all of these various correlations. Remember, fascinatingly, our sugya, the sugya of Erevin, is the sugya in Shas that brings together all of the various questions of what is considered to be foodstuff. So we spoke about foodstuff, many, many different levels. We talked about what is food in terms of this. Even our Mishnah introduced quite a few of them. So what is food in terms of tuma? What is food in terms of brachas? What is food in terms of erevin? What is food in terms of purchasing meiser sheni with money that you were paid a meiser sheni on? What is considered to be food in terms of giving to an ani in the goren, a correlation that the Gemara didn't like very much. And while we also have to take into consideration, what is food in terms of a neder? So suppose somebody was noder from food, what would be included in that concept of food? Now that's another correlation. We didn't think about that one yet. So we have a machlokas about the deal of what you say Borei Minei Mizonos. I remember we had back in Brochus that according to Rav and Shmuel, you do not say a Mizonos on rice. Why? Because Mizonos, Mazon, is only the Chamisha Minei Dagan. L'maisa, the Gemara in Brochus was Deiche, Rav and Shmuel, and showed that you do make a Mizonos on rice. But L'maisa, it says in the Mishnah over here, in Erevin, one of the correlations is with a neder. So it says, Hanoder min Amazon, in the same way that an Erev made out of Mayim u'Melach is not an Erev, somebody who makes a neder from Mazon, it's also not going to include water and salt. So that's Mashman, and that's the only thing that's not called Mazon, but anything else is called Mazon. Now, Rav and Shmuel said, you can't say Borei Menei Mizonot on anything else, and the Mishnah says that's not true. Everything is mazon if you say you're not going to eat mazon. So isn't this definite proof against Rav and Shmuel Shita? So let me tell it to Yufta, because Rav and Shmuel say ein mevorkem borei nei mizonot unless it's al chameshet haminim bilvad. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, what are we beating a dead horse for? I mean, we did this in Brachas, don't you remember? We went ahead and we showed that Rav and Shmuel were wrong from the sugi about the rice, right? So we already did that. Okay, but maybe let me have it to you if the nami miha. Maybe this is also another to you if that we need to see how the sugis stack up if we're going to be doing all of the inyanim mazon here. Omer Avuna, no. Because the Mishnah may very well be talking about not anoder min ha-mazon. I mean, yes, we're talking about the nature of mazon, so he used that language. But what actually the guy said was that kol hazan alai. anything that nourishes, obviously everything nourishes. We're talking about mazon. It's a question of whether it satisfies. That's a different issue. But whether it nourishes, lots of things nourish. So mayim u'melach, only mayim u'melach, literally, it has no calories and it's not, it doesn't nourish you at all. So that would not be included. But that doesn't mean you're going to make a bori mina mazon. It's a different issue. Nothing to do with this question. Now here was the beautiful mice that we had before that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, well, remember we used to go with Rabbi Yochanan to do our annual fruit pick up around the Yama Kinneret. Rabbi Yochanan loved those fruits, right? So if he had 100 Talmidim that were walking along with him, each one of us would pick 10 of those pears, which gives 1,000 pears, okay? Because Rabbi Yochanan was a pretty big guy, you will remember. He was quite fat. So because of that, we used to bring him 1,000 pears. And if we only had 10 guys with him, then each of us would pick 100 pears because we still needed 1,000 pears, okay? And those pears, don't think we're talking about small fruit, man. We're talking about very large fruit. Because if you even had 100 of them, you couldn't fit them into the giant baskets that they use for collecting in the fields. It was 3 saw. Rabbi Yochanan would eat the whole thing. I can't believe I ate that. He ate the whole thing. And when he finished, he says, I swear, I have not eaten anything. Lo toim li ziyuna. I still don't feel like I'm satisfied. So you see that there are foods that even if you eat a lot of, they're not even considered to be nourishing. No. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say, I didn't eat ziyuna. He said, I didn't eat mizona. In other words, I don't feel like I'm full. I don't, it's like, you know, I'm enjoying it and I had a lot to eat, but I'm not full. That's the point. Okay. So this is the story that I promised the Rebbe. And the question over here was a maysa with the, who they call in Hebrew, HaYehudi HaKadosh. You know, I'm sure the Rebbe will be able to translate that into Yiddish. And one time he was making a Shechayanu. So he got these fruits and he did a Rabbi Yochanan job and he ate like an enormous amount of these fruits, and he got so sick, he was moaning and groaning. So anyway, so famous Rabbunim was the one who was his Talmud, he used to be Mishamish, you know, if you can eat, you eat, but if you can't eat, you don't eat. Well, what kind of business is this? So he said to him, my entire Rabbunim, eating these peres is a mitzvah for everyone that you eat to be able to be mishabeach and to say your shechayanu. It's like learning Torah. So what am I not going to eat? Not going to eat one. So it's a mitzvah. You got to eat it all. Anyway, that was the Rabbi Yochanan idea. So Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, suppose a guy makes a shvua and he says, I am not going to eat this particular bread. Doesn't matter. You can use that particular bread for his Erev, right? Because remember, there's a number of issues over here. And they get a little bit confused because, as we'll see, there's many different shitas of how to understand the Gemara properly. Rashi himself has two completely different approaches. So one issue is like this. The overall idea that if something is usser, but it's mutter for somebody else, there should be no problem, right? And even though the person himself can't eat it, but somebody else can eat it. But then there's another issue. If a guy ussers it bahana'ah, so he says, kikar zo alai, I will not be nena from it. So then if you make an erev for him, so then you should not be allowed to make an Erev because then he's going to be nehene from it because having an Erev is something that he'd be willing to pay money for. So it turns out that he's being nehene from that thing. So let's take this as the approach now. So we asked on that from the idea of a braita that says if somebody is noder min hakikar, mashma, noder min hakikar, is that he asserted it from hana'ah. And when you normally we say a neder, it's a lie. And it says over here, you can make an Erev. Says the Gemara, no. He's talking about that he said zo, meaning he said, shvua, that I won't eat this. And achinami mistavra, because in the Seifa, in the Braita, it says, when do we say this, that he's not allowed, that he's allowed to have an Erev, that's only where he said shvua shelo atamena. I make a shvua that I won't taste it. Okay, so what does that mean? That if he said a lie, what would the din be? Amar a lie, my. You're saying that, which is exactly what you said, but that can't be. Why? Because the Braita, in order to distinguish the type of neder that would be usher to make an Erev, instead of saying, but if he said a razor a lie, then it's usher. Instead, the Braita says, if he said kikar zu hegdesh, so he turned it into hegdesh, then fine, then ein ma'arvim loba. Okay, but mashma that lefisha ein ma'arvim behegdeshot. Okay, but why would we have to go to hegdesh? You could have just used the same chulin and said, b'med dvarim amurim, that he said, I'm not going to eat it, this one. But if he said it's a lie, so then you won't be ma'arvim bo. So obviously we got a problem. Said Ravuna, okay, fine. We have a problem. It ain't my problem. Because you tell me what it means, okay? You're claiming that we could be bedayik from over here, that if you say a lie, that you could still make an Erev, as long as you didn't say it's hegdesh. That's what you're trying to disprove. No, so then how do you explain the Reisha? No matter what you're going to do, I mean, the Reisha said, Bameh, Dvorim, Amurim, Dafka, where he said, I'm not going to taste it. What do you mean? According to you, that's not true. See, anyway, you've got a problem. So therefore, you're going to have to solve it. Now, we can solve it by saying that the bright is chasurim mechasra, and it goes like this. Somebody's noted from a kikar, you can make it. Even if he said a lie, not like Ravuna. But the idea is that it would be as if he said, that's what is missing. It's as if, and then go back to the language in the Baisa, Omar Shvua Shelo Atamena. So in other words, no matter what he says, I don't care if he says a lie, I don't care if he says this, it's the equivalent of Shvua Shelo Atamena. But if he says that it's Hekdesh, then he can't eat it. So that way it works out according to us, but how in the world is it going to work out according to Ravuna? Can't work out according to Ravuna because there's no excuse for saying the thing about Hekdesh according to Ravuna. According to us, that's really the only case where it would be usher on everybody. Well, Ravuna, actually, you're right. Ravuna can't hold like this, Braita, but Ravuna has a Tana that holds like him. That Tana is Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says, if a guy says, I swear I'm not going to eat this bread, you can make an Erev. But if he says this bread is usher on me, then you can't make an Erev. So that's how he holds. Wait. Something's wrong. Rebbe Eliezer himself couldn't have said that. Because, remember, the general rule is, this is a Braita, if an Adam asers himself in a food, meaning that he makes a shvua, he said, I won't eat this food. Okay, so then you can use it as an Erev. But if it was food that became usher to him, meaning that it's usher in every way, so then you can't. And Rebbe Eliezer Dafka is the one, that's like Ravuna. Rebbe Eliezer's Dafka, the one who says the opposite. Rebbe Eliezer says, if you say Kikar Zu a lie, you can still be Ma'arvin Loba. And therefore, he's now contradicting the other thing that we just said for Rebbe Eliezer, which Rebbe Eliezer went like Ravuna. If you say Kikar Zu Hegdesh, then Ein Ma'arvin Loba, because Ein Ma'arvin Begadeshas. Okay, fine. You're right. There's two Tanoim. I'll leave to Rebbe Eliezer. Ravuna either holds like Rebbe Eliezer in the Braita, or he holds like the Chachamim in the second Braita that argue with Rebbe Eliezer, but it doesn't matter. Because in terms of Ravuna, everything's fine. So we have two different shitot, according to this. And the question revolves around whether what? What is the question? I mean, if Lamaisa it's Hana, won't it be Aser for him to derive the Hana'a? So there's two possible interpretations of this. One interpretation is that it's not usher because an Erev itself is normally made l'tzorach mitzvah, or because Erevim, because they were miyuchad as doing things in order to be able to do mitzvahs on Shabbos, Mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. This ties into the beautiful words of the song. Ula orev eruvai. So people have a smechim leshomrai ula orev eruvai. So they have a simcha on Shabbos, and the simcha is making an eruv. Making an eruv. Understand it's logistics, no? No. That's the point. To be able to be Isaac in Shabbos and to make an Erev for Shabbos is part of the entire joy of the mitzvah of Shabbos, of connecting to the Rishuyas and so on. So all of that is part of the mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav la'enes nitnu, and therefore that would be the difference. Tosis has got a very serious problem with the whole way that the Gemara presents itself, because it has nothing to do with Shvuah or Neder, for heaven's sakes. It has to do with how you presented it. I mean, you can make a Neder that this food is usher for me b'achila, or you can make an eder, this food is usher for me v'hana'ah. You can do the same thing with a shvua, ushering yourself on it. So why exactly would that be the point, right? So there's one approach in Tosafot, a completely different approach, which is that when you use konim, which is how you make a neder is similar to hegdash. Because of its similarity to hegdash, we want to answer it. Okay. It's a bit of a problem, as Tosafot himself points out. Because then why does it say Lafisha ein Ma'arve Begdeshas? Is that Hegdeshas? You're saying that it's only similar to Hegdeshas. Okay, I'm just raising issues for you. You could see it's not as simple as it looks on the surface. Okay, in any event, we've got ourselves now this new correlation of the nature of food, but food not completely correlated because it depends on what we're talking about, nourishment or whether we're talking about actually satisfying food. Okay, next. The next thing we had was the question of making an Erev for a Nazir. And we said you can use wine because even though it's not Roy for him, it is Roy for other people. Now, that would mean that the Mishnah, says the Gemara, is not going according to Beit Shammai's entire approach. Why? Because Beit Shammai is the one who says, Ein ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin u'liyisrael b'truma, and Beit Hillel omri ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin u'liyisrael b'truma. And Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, does that make sense? Don't you agree that you can make an Erev for someone who needs to walk on Yom Kippur? Right? So it's Erev Yom Kippur. You're going to make an Erev. What do you mean make an Erev for Yom Kippur? You can't eat on Yom Kippur. How can you make an Erev to have your Mokum Shvisa where your food is if you're not able to eat? Says Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, but nonetheless, you can be Ma'arev for an Adam who is a Gadol, is over Bar Mitzvah, because of the fact that even though he can't eat it tomorrow, but a kid can eat it tomorrow, right? So fine, so we'll feed it to a child. And that's okay. And Beit Shammai says, yes, indeed, 100% aval, of course you can do that. Amrulam nu, so Beit Shammai says, nu. So if you can do that, so what's the difference between that and a nazir b'yayin? The same thing. Kishem shemarvim legodo b'yam ha-kippurim, kein marvim le-nazir b'yayin le-yisrael b'truma. Says Beit Shammai, nonsense. It's not the same thing at all. No, it's not even similar, because the Erev has got to be food at the time that you make the Erev before Shabbos. So if you're talking about on Yom Kippur, okay, so tomorrow it'll be Roy for someone. That's good enough for me. Right now, is he being Kovea, his Mokum Shvisa, because it's food for him? Yes. Masha Enkein, the Yayin for the Nazir, he's not been kovea mokum shvisa for himself at all. So hasim ikas se'udah ha'ru'uyam ba'od yom. So it's a kosher Erev from then. Obviously, Beit Shammai must hold that the Erev is on, it's a big machlok, as we'll see later on, that the Erev takes place only at the beginning of the period, right? That's called the sof hayom. Is Koina Erev. And Tosef explains over here, it means Sof Hayom in terms of the Sof Hayom that is mutter to eat. That's what's Koveya the Erev. So, okay, so therefore, if it's still Erev Yom Kippur, It's not that I need to wait for Ben Hashmashas where it's usher to eat already. It's the last time that I can eat on Erev Yom Kippur or Erev Shabbos, that is the time that the Erev has to be chal. That for a Nazir is not going to be chal. But for the Yom Kippur problem, I can't eat tomorrow. I can eat it right now. Right now, it's good. Okay. So because of that, there's no comparison to the Nazir. Because Harka, in the case of the Nazir, in the case of Yisrael, of Achilas Truma, he can't eat it now. So Leka Se'uda, Haru Uya, Miba Odyon. Now, this entire approach, this is fascinating, because now we have a whole new idea of Eruv, which is the way that Hananya learns Beit Shammai. This is, even though obviously it's not Nogei Halacha, but to see such a radically different approach to an Erev is really a very kind of stretching the envelope in terms of our appreciation of how the Takana of Eruv came about. Hananya's Gemara, in which he was Makabal, the Shita of Beit Shammai, is so dramatically different. And that means that this whole discussion, according to Hananya, could not have taken place. Because according to Hananya, command, the Loka Hananya, because the Tanya, Hananya Omer, Kol Atzmam Shel Beit Shammai Lo Hayum Odim Be'eruv. Beit Shammai did not believe in what you guys think is an Erev. You can't take a symbolic thing and pretend that that's your Mokum Shvisa on Shabbos. You have to actually be able to be in that place on Shabbos in a way that your bed is there, your food is there, not symbolic food. All the food that you need to eat, your pajamas are there, your two suits are there, what you're going to wear tonight, what you're going to wear tomorrow. Everything's got to be out there. So, you can't put food. This whole discussion of whether the food is good for the Erev on Erev Yom Kippur, the food is good for Nazir, is a ridiculous conversation, according to Hananya. And in fact, it's interesting, there's a braita that says that if you made an Erev while you were wearing a black suit, right, and now you want to wear a white suit, because now it's Shabbos, you're certainly not going to look like you're an Avelis wearing a black suit on Shabbos, so you need to wear a white suit, right? So you can't go out with the white suit. You can't go out of the tchum because you didn't have that white suit at the Erev. Or if you made the Erev wearing a white suit and you're planning on going to some kind of Maharasha or whatever, and you want to put on a black suit, you can't do that either. No, you'd say Bishchorim. So you're not allowed to wear the suit that you weren't wearing. So who's that going like? Said Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, well, that's going like Hananya because you didn't have the suit that you were going to wear. Says, what do you mean? According to Hananya, if you didn't have the suit that you were going to wear, you don't have an Erev at all, darn it. It's not a question you can't use. Hananya wasn't saying only the things that you have are the things you can carry. Hananya says everything that you need for Shabbos. Did you need the black suit for Shabbos? Did you need the white suit for Shabbos? Uh-oh, you didn't bring it out? Then you don't have an Erev at all. And you can't go out in the least with anything. So forget it. So what are you saying? According to Hananya, you can't go out with a black suit, but you can't go out with the white suit. You can't go out with anything. Because Hananya said, so forget it. So something's wrong because Brighta doesn't go according to anybody. Okay, then the Brighta, obviously, we got wrong. The Brit is saying like this: if you made an Erev when you're wearing white clothes, but you actually needed to have a black suit on Shabbos, then lo yetzei not with the black suit, lo yetzei at all, even with the white suit. That's what we ask him on. And that, said Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, is like Hananya Libda Beit Shammai, which is perfectly true. Now, in the Mishnah, Sumchus comes along. And he says, no, you could only make an Erev not with Truma. You could only make it with Chulin. Now, how come Simchas doesn't say, and the thing that you said about the Nazir, you can't make a Nazir with wine. It could only be something you could drink. He doesn't argue. Only when it comes to difference between the Kohen and the Yisrael, then he argues. But between a Nazir and a normal person, he says, what the heck is the difference? Either the Nazir be Yayin Lo Polik, why? Simple. A Nazir can actually retroactively undo his Naziris by being shoyel on his Naziris. So that means that theoretically, this food is actually accessible for the Nazir. It's wine. Fine. So we'll go and it'll be matzahs and aziras. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. You could do that with truma also. I mean, truma. You can go and ask your chacham, say, I made a mistake, I have charata, that I made this truma. Yeah, you can. And what good is it going to do you? If you undo the truma, then you turn the whole thing into tevel. So now nobody can eat it. So it's even worse. So there's nothing to do about the truma. So therefore, Sukkah's only argues on the wine. Wait. Even if that's true, can't you, at the last minute over here, right? I mean, we're talking about what could theoretically be your food at this point. So can't you take off truma right now again? You could say, okay, I'm turning this into tevel. Hey, Chacham, is it okay? It's mutter? Yeah, it's mutter. All right, so now it's tevel. Ah, but I have the same type of food in my house, so I'm going to take off from that food on this food, and now this won't be tevel anymore. And now I'll be able to eat this, right? Can I do that? No. Because remember, lo nechshedu chaverim letrom shelo min ha-mukaf. If you don't have that stuff with you, no chaver would ever do something like that, to take off from something that's somewhere else. How does he know it's still kayam? No way. So that's okay, fine, so I won't do that. But can't I take off a little bit of this newly made tevel because I turned the truma into tevel? So let me take off a little bit of itself and make that the truma on this tevel, and now I can eat the rest of it. Yeah, you could, but it's talking about that you had only the exact amount for your Erev, and if you take off the truma as a Meisers, you won't have enough for the Erev. Come on, man. I mean, that is the most artificial. That's called paske. What? Not for some reason we just create an artificial case. You can't create artificial cases. It's not the norm to have precisely what you need. That's umay paske. So the point must be, the reason that Sumcha says you can't use truma is because he holds like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say that even though something is only usur because of shvus, meaning it's only an issur d'rabbanan, you still cannot do it bein hashmashot, even though bein hashmashot is suffik min hayom, suffik min halayla. You would not be able, that means while the Erev is taking place during that period, you would not be able to take off truma because of the gezeira. So since Simchas holds, Simchas would not allow you to take off the truma. So there's no way that he can apply the logic of the nazir, who can be matir himself b'yayin, with the truma. By the way, they ask, but there's also an iser shvus of going and asking on your neder. So it should be the same problem. Then the nazir wouldn't be able to be shol on his neder for the yayin, right? So, okay, again, the teretz is because it's considered to be letzorach mitzvah. For an Erev, it's considered to be a mitzvah. And a mitzvah, you are allowed to be shol if it's a mitzvah for Shabbos. Okay. Anyway, we've got our beautiful, beautiful Mishnah in Kalim. We wouldn't want to forget our Mishnah in Kalim. And that Mishnah in Kalim gave a general rule. And that is, sometimes you go according to a shear that is the actual person. Let's say a kohen, if he's doing melo kumtso, he has to bring a komitz for a mincha. It's not a kli. So because of that, it's defined by his own handful. The kohen gadol has to bring molei chofna for the keteres. That's his own chofna. Somebody who is going to be drinking molei lugma of biyom hakipurim, that is the amount that is necessary to give him a sense of satisfaction. Goes according to him. And here it says, and when it comes to an Erev, oh, see that? We learned Kalim a little bit too early because we were only doing Shabbos. Huh? So at that point, it was Perkut Zayin. So b'mozun shteis udot le'eruv, who's that going like? That goes according to the individual. Oh, so that must be Sumchas, because Sumchas says you actually use what is suitable for the individual himself, right? So that's the idea. You can't use truma for Yisrael. So you can't use an Erev, even though it's two su'udas. You can't use it if this guy has got a bigger appetite. Says the Gemara, wait, so then if that's true, it's against what we learned at the beginning of the day. Remember, we said Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, if a guy is sick or he's too old to eat, that's enough to make him an Erev with a little bit of food. And it could be Kedei Mizono. And if it's the guy has an enormous appetite, then it doesn't matter. We still only give him a Su'uda Beinonis to call Adam. So then if you say it doesn't have to be enough from him, so then you're telling me that it's not defined by the individual, right? Says the Gemara, no. The Mishnah that says that it goes according to the individual is talking about Lakula, which is talking about somebody who's sick, he's too old to eat. But Enochinami, if he is a Rav Tan, so then we don't care about that because Butler Dietrich will call on him. That's a pathological appetite. And because of that, we go according to the normal person for an Erev. And the Mishnah didn't mean that we would take someone who was Butler Dietrich. We certainly would never say that we needed to do that. Okay, what about the Beit HaPras? How can a Kohen be made an Erev in a Beit HaPras if a Kohen will never be able to eat it? The Omer of Yerom of Shmuel, by the way, it's a machlokas what the issue is over here. The Kohen will not be able to eat it, or the Kohen is considered to be in a different Rishus because he cannot be in that Rishus. Even though the Erev, you don't have to be in the Rishus at that time. Okay, that's a machlokas over here. Rashi learns it's because he can't eat it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And that's because you remember that there was only one good reason for inventing leaf blowers. And in fact, most normal communities answer you from using a leaf blower because of the insane amount of noise it makes. However, a Kohen in a Beit HaPras is allowed to use a leaf blower, which is why they invented that thing. Because the issue of a Beit HaPras, remember, is that there was a plowed under kever, and we're worried about fragments of bones that are the size of a Sa'ora, and that is going to be Matame the Kohen if he walks there. So because of that, he takes this machine, blows his way across, and that way, if there's any kind of something that would be Matame him, it would immediately be Nizgala with the blower or blown away with the blower, so it's no problem. Minapeach adam Beit HaPras v'oleh. Rabbi Yehuda Barami Mishved Rabbi Yehuda Amar. In general, if this was a Beit HaPras that people have walked over for many years, and now it's like a trampled area, then it's Bechlal Tar, because we believe that any bone fragments would have been shattered into a shear that was too small anyway to be Metame. Tomorrow we'll get into the helicopter question and what the din is for Kohanim traveling on El Al. Do they have to use one of those suits that they now use only for Corona or for spacemen? But that will wait.